The Lord be with you. Welcome to our service today. This is our first ever Facebook Live worship service. In this time of trial, we thank you for tuning in and being part of our service this morning. Our worship service is, if you have a hymnal at home, it is Divine Service Setting 2 on page 167 in your hymnal. We'll be singing one hymn today, our opening hymn, God Loved the World So That He Gave, hymn number 571. Our service, as I said, is from the hymnal, and if you'd like to follow along, you can follow along with our hymnal. Our readings today, our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 42, where the Lord, after the first song of the suffering servant and the response, the Lord says, "For a long time I have held my peace, I have kept still and restrained myself." But now he talks and speaks out to us. The last words, of course, from this particular passage say, He sees many things but does not observe them. His ears are open but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the text for our message today. With that, we begin our service by singing our opening hymn, hymn number 571, God Loved the World So That He Gave. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our intro for the day is from Psalm 27, verses 4 through 6. We read it responsively. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. In peace let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray together the collect for the day. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this, the fourth Sunday in Lent, is from the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the 14th verse. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gradual is from Hebrews 12, verse 2. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Our epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand as we sing together the verse for Lent. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and abounding in steadfast love. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not this man that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such things?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said before, our text for this morning's message is from our Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 14 to 21. "Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious." Dear friends in Christ, there's a professor from Concordia University in Mequon who tells this story. He says, "When I visited Israel several years ago, our tour guide told our group that after decades of leading these tours, one of the most repeated reasons he heard for people wanting to return to Israel for a second visit was to see it without the camera lens. In other words, they'd spent so much time taking pictures, looking through a camera lens the first time they were here, they wanted to see it with their own eyes and experience in themselves. They wanted to come back just so that they could see it and experience for themselves without the camera. In our text today, God's people have been seeing things only through their own lens. They'd been missing what God wanted them to see. And the only correction for that is Christ. And Jesus actually gives us eyes to look with the light of the world. See, what had been happening is God's people had been looking at things all wrong. Because, frankly, you and I and the people of Israel at that time were all conceived in sin and we were born into the darkness of this world. Our eyes don't work the way they should work. You know, and this is a physical fact. Some people are born blind. Some people gradually become blind. See, and our eyes deteriorate with age. Sometimes we have hard time seeing. We have to have glasses or contact lenses. These are all things physically that our eyes don't work the way they should. And we have the desire in our hearts many times to look at the things that we're not supposed to look at. Pornography, all the other things, the stuff that we see on the internet or on television that our eyes should not be looking at. And the other thing that happens is that we're not able to see the things of God for what they truly are. A lot of times we look at water and see only water, even if it's in the baptismal font. When we look at the sacrament of the altar, when our Lord's body and blood is present there at the altar, all we see is bread and wine. And even suffering sometimes we see as not coming from God. It's a mistake that we don't see it with God's eyes, especially if you look at our gospel lesson where the disciples asked him right at the very beginning, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" The whole fact that Jesus, that suffering might be something that happens for our sake or that God uses it for our sake. See, all of this is wrongful seeing, and it stems from idolatry. The fact is, God is deeply affected by our looking at things the wrong way. He's been holding his peace. He's been restraining himself for a long time, as it said in our Old Testament reading. In Isaiah, "For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself," he says. Now he's like a woman in labor. "I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant." He gasps and pants. God is profoundly affected by our sin. But this is also a picture of a new life for his people, that is this image of a woman giving birth, because there's a new life for his people that's about to emerge. He's actually making ready the way for his own visitation. When it talks about having the mountains laid low, drying up the vegetation, all these things, it's that same image that we find in Isaiah chapter 42 or in chapter 40, where he talks about the mountains and hills will be laid low, where he's making straight the path for his servant, his own visitation. See, God's people were actually intended to look at things in a much better way. Isaiah reiterates the actual special status of Israel when he calls them the servants of the Lord. They were God's chosen people, and they were called to be a blessing for all nations. But this ideal servant from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 4, has actually turned into the blind servant in our text. Notice what it says here in verse 19. "Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? See, the blind servant is us. Our eyes see what the Lord does, His deeds in creation, in His Word, but we don't pay attention to them the way that we're supposed to. Our ears hear the Lord's words, but we don't observe them the way we should. So what happens? Well, God himself actually restores the way that we see things. And it begins with a call to repentance. There in verse 18, what he says, "Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see." He says it. Hear, look, see. These are the things he says. This is a call to repentance. But before we can truly see, we first have to admit that we can't see. It's almost like Socrates says, the beginning of knowledge is realizing that we do not know. We have to first admit that we cannot see. In confession, that's what we do. We don't see the works of the Lord the way that we should. We've sinned, as we say, in thought, word, and deed. Notice it's in our gospel lesson what happens with this blind man. He admits his ignorance several times. Even while the Pharisees keep thinking and keep talking about how much they know, the blind man ends up actually seeing more and more clearly as the story goes on, as the event goes on. While the Pharisees, who more than anyone there at the time should have been seeing, those Pharisees become blinder and blinder. Till finally at the end, Jesus says, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." It continues, of course, with absolution through God's Word and through the sacraments. In John 3, that we read a few weeks ago, the story with Nicodemus, Jesus says to him, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." When our old selves are put to death, this new person, a new person with new and improved vision, if you will, arises out of the water to which he sends us. It's interesting that Jesus sends the man to the pool of Siloam to wash the mud out of his eyes, and that Siloam actually means sent or sent one. So he sends us to the waters of holy baptism so that we may see as well. This giving of spiritual sight is entirely the Lord's work. It's not something that we do. It's something that God does in us. So unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he will actually continue through the Holy Spirit to lead, to guide, and to be with us. Yes. Even today, as we're sequestered in our own homes, he continues to guide, lead, and to be with us. You see, what God calls his people to do is to look with the light of the world. Not worldly light, the light of the world as Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. So we return again and again to the font of the sent one, the one who was sent by God. And we'll see the things. We'll see things around us with that light of the world, the light that makes all of the difference in the world. Because the ones who are truly blind are the ones who see what's going on only with earthly eyes. The light of the world actually changes how we see things. See, when we see things with the light of faith, with the eyes of faith given to us by the light of the world, we see baptism as more than simply water. It's water with the Word of God given to us and for us for the forgiveness of our sins and for our salvation. The Lord's Supper is more than merely bread and wine. It's Christ's body and blood in, with, and under that bread and wine given to us for the forgiveness of sins. And as Luther says, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. And suffering is not simply punishment. It might be to display the works of God, to drive us to the foot of the cross. See, the theology of the cross actually means that our Lord is hidden many times in the very opposite of what it looks like. The cross, what we see, what the cross of Christ is the very greatest glory. Remember how darkness actually covered the face of the earth when our Lord was hanging on the cross for you and for me. The light of the world was there shining on the cross as the world was covered in darkness. Because as he died, as he suffered, he was suffering for us in our place, that we might be saved, that we might be forgiven. And today, even today, this light of the world is a daily lamp to our feet and a light to our path in the darkness that surrounds us. It feels like darkness is closing in around us. When we're sequestered in our homes, when we see the world getting sick because of this pestilence. But in the midst of this uncertainty, I got to read something this past week, and I wanted to read it to you today on March 17th, which of course is St. Patrick's Day, part of St. Patrick's breastplate, which is a poem, a prayer. And I think, and it gives us hope in our present situation. It goes like this: Christ be with me, Christ within me. Christ behind me, Christ before me. Christ beside me, Christ to win me. Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Christ in quiet, Christ in danger. Christ in hearts of all who love me. Christ in the mouth of friend and stranger. Christ in every eye that sees me. Christ in every ear that hears me. See, Christ is with you now. Do not be afraid. The light of the world is shining in the midst of this darkness. So with all that's weighing on our hearts right now, let us look at it with the light of the world, with Christ. See, Christ is the light that shines in the midst of family troubles, a light that depression can never touch, a light that pestilence can never put out. Whatever comes your way, see it through the lens of Christ first. There's no darker place that we can go where this light is not there always with us. We have the light that nothing can ever put out. Not even our own death could ever overcome this light. And as much as the world in the darkness of its blindness wants to put it out, it still hasn't. And it never will. In Christ, the light of the world's name. Amen and amen. Let us now confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing together the offertory.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Blessed Lord, you give sight to the blind. You open the ears of the deaf and you make the lame to walk. Hear the prayers of your people on behalf of all people as they have need. In the darkness of sin and its death, we cry to you, O Lord. Open our ears by your word, our minds by your spirit, and our hearts by your grace, that we may know and be thankful for all the blessings you have given to us in Christ our Lord, especially for the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Strengthen us in faith that we may serve you with all our body, mind, soul, and strength. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bidden by your word, we pray to you, O Lord, on behalf of your church and all your people scattered and isolated. Give to us good pastors and servants of your word who will serve us faithfully and boldly, even in chaotic times. Keep them safe, comfort them and their families, and raise up many more servants for full-time church work. Lord, in your mercy. Enjoying the riches of your grace, we ask you, O Lord, to give us generous hearts, that we may share what you have provided with those in need and work for the common good of all. Give us patience in our seclusion and comfort the lonely. Grant relief to the unemployed, the underemployed, the homeless, and all their families. Lord, in your mercy. Knowing your healing will and gifts, we pray you, O Lord, to spare us from all calamity by pestilence, scarcity, and fear. Remember the sick in their afflictions, calm those troubled in mind, and keep steadfast the dying. Show us your gracious will, O Lord, and sustain those who are afflicted in body and mind until that day when you will bestow upon us new bodies fit for eternal life that you have prepared for us in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, give us grace to trust you during this time of illness and distress. In mercy, put an end to the epidemic that afflicts us. Grant relief to those who suffer and comfort all who mourn. Sustain all medical personnel in their labors and cause your people ever to serve you in righteousness and holiness. Lord, in your mercy. Mindful of your promise, we ask you, O Lord, to comfort those who grieve and to build up those who mourn with hope for the resurrection. Remembering the faithful who have died in Christ, we pray you to bring us at last to be with them in your nearer presence, looking forward to that day when we shall join in the marriage supper of the Lamb in his kingdom without end. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to our worship service this morning through Facebook Live. Please join us Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock as we do our midweek Lenten services as well. I want to remind you also that if you go to our webpage at goodshepherdtehachapi.org, spelled, it doesn't matter if it's upper or lower cases there, and click on for our small group communion during this week, there are times available for you to come in and have a small service of to receive the Lord's sacrament today. Thank you, and God bless you always. Bye-bye.